The following program is a presentation of the Jewelry Exchange and Auction.
If you're watching Storage Wars or Auction Hunters on TV and you're thinking, I can't do that, well, you're wrong. Find out what it takes to get started right now. Good morning, everyone. Welcome to In the Money, the show that answers the questions, what is it, what's it worth, and what do I do with it? I'm David Bluestein.
And I'm Adam Bluestein from the Jewelry Exchange and Auction in San Antonio.
We're here each Saturday morning at 7 o'clock to provide an insider's view on the world of jewelry, coins, antiques, collectibles, and so much more. As owners and operators of the Jewelry Exchange and Auction, we're on the front line with a finger on the pulse every day. And as of now, you have a friend in the business. Yeah, if you're watching TV, Storage Wars, Auction Hunters, shows like that, and you're thinking, well, I see them doing it, but I can't do that. Well, you're wrong. Today, we're going to be talking about how we got started in the business of buying and selling almost anything, and I do mean almost anything. Also, we'll introduce you to Chucky Buchel, a deal maker who will inspire you to get started. And we'll be taking your calls and emails on the subject of buying and selling almost anything. But first, what a week. At our weekly auction last Saturday at the Jewelry Exchange in Stone Oak, we sold over $100,000 in new and estate jewelry, coins, currency, various collectibles in just over 3 hours. Frankly, our second best auction ever. Very exciting. For example, we sold a brand new 18-carat white gold diamond ring. It had just over 3.5 carats total weight in diamonds. The appraisal was over $33,000. We sold it for $6,600. Yep, the appraisal, $33,000, that's the retail replacement value. Our price for this brand new ring, $6,600. You see, we have a relationship with a manufacturer in California, and what we've done is cut out several layers of wholesalers and retailers to offer this merchandise to anybody, people just like you, at prices that jewelers would expect to pay, or even less. Also, we sold an authentic Rolex Oyster Perpetual Date Just stainless steel, 18 karat. They call that a two-tone watch. We sold that for $4,400. When we say authentic, when we say estate, what do we mean by that, Adam?
When we say authentic, we generally say that before description on merchandise that's commonly counterfeited, like Tiffany, James Avery, James Avery, don't really say that for, but Tiffany, Rolex, David Yurman, that kind of merchandise.
And the more popular James Avery gets, the more often we see it counterfeit.
Oh, yeah, I've melted a bunch of counterfeit James Avery just the other day.
Yeah, we melt it when it's not real. We don't want to offer it to you.
But when we offer name brand merchandise, we always guarantee that it's authentic. But when we say authentic in the beginning of the description, we're just reminding everybody that we are guaranteeing that that's authentic, because I expect people, when they say we have a Rolex for sale, they're going to say, yeah, right, it's counterfeit. As far as when we say estate, that's kind of a nice way of saying used jewelry. That any, by law, we have to, whenever we get merchandise from the public, we have to call that estate. It's another thing that we can say other than new or vintage or antique.
You know, people get excited when we offer Rolexes, but after 33 years of the business, I'm going to tell you, I'd much personally rather have a Patek Philippe or an IWC or a Panerai. Actually, much better watches than Rolexes. And Rolex, if you're listening, my name's Adam. go sue Adam. Don't sue David. But look, we don't want you to think that all we offer is the expensive jewelry. We sold a brand new 8-inch freshwater pearl bracelet with 9-millimeter pearls. Those aren't tiny pearls and genuine pearls. It went for $10. It was brand new. And we sold an estate James Avery sterling silver butterfly charm for $15. We sell a lot of James Avery jewelry. Very popular here in Texas. I know we've talked about that before. You know, as far as the coins, we sold a certified 1894 U.S. Morgan silver dollar that was authenticated and graded AU50 cleaned by ANAX, which is the third most respected, or fourth, depending who you talk to, grading service in the world. We sold that for $1,500. Not only was it degraded, but Anax let everybody know that it was clean. They put that right on the package, and we put that in our advertising. If you're going to buy a silver dollar for a third of what its retail value is, that's because it's cleaned. And at least you have a chance to know that up front. We really want to be straightforward with you. But on the other hand, we sold an 1864 United States 2-cent piece that was graded fine for just $15, way under book value. Again, really, we have something for everybody. We sold last Saturday Coach purses, jewelry by Tiffany and David Yurman, Judith Ripka and Zilpata. We had watches, Piaget, Tag Heuer, Christian Dior, Lamborghini, and more. Let's see, 100 comic books, 50 Michael Jordan football cards, 5 fur coats, a couple of sets of spurs, and a Knights of Columbus sword. And we're going to do it all over again tonight at 7 o'clock in Stone Oak. You're all invited. It's open to the public. We have dealers. We have private parties. The kids come. That's okay. Champagne at 6 o'clock. Auction starts at 7. We have a uniformed off-duty police officer at the door, so everyone will have a good time. Hey, I just mentioned the Knights of Columbus sword. Tonight, we have the biggest consignment, the nicest consignment of swords and daggers and bayonets that we've ever handled before. Lots of Civil War, pre-Civil War merchandise from U.S. Army and Nazi Germany, and not just swords and daggers, but badges and commemorative plates. So much merchandise.
Firearms.
And firearms, too. It's like a history lesson, honestly. And people come. You don't have to bid. Come and watch, please. And in fact, we hope to see you all there tonight at the Jewelry Exchange in Stone Oak. Before I start sounding too much like an infomercial, let's go to this week's In the Money trivia quiz, the quiz where you win the answer. First, let's review last week's quiz. Adam, can you do that?
Yes, last week I asked what self-titled brand of designer jewelry was born in 1954 in Kerrville, Texas, features religious and secular themes, and today is well known, but almost exclusively in Texas. And the answer, of course, is James Avery. It's James Avery Jewelry. That the winner this week was Jenna Mills, and she won a James Avery sterling silver charm bracelet. If your name is Jenna Mills and you are the answer, you are the winner today. You need to come by Jewelry Exchange and Auction at 19903 Stone Oak Parkway within the next 30 days to claim your prize. And we're open from Monday through Saturday, 10 a.m. to 6 p.m. Saturday evenings for our live auction. Now it's time for this week's question.
Okay, this week's quiz. Theoretically, pure silver is 100% pure. Well, duh, wouldn't you think so? But in the refining business, silver is never designated as 100% pure. This week's question, short and sweet. What three numbers do silver refiners use to designate pure silver? To be a winner this week, all you have to do is to be one of the first three people to email the correct answer to quiz@inthemoneyradio.com. That's quiz@inthemoneyradio.com. You can also access the answer blank through our website, through our homepage at www.inthemoneyradio.com. Then listen to next week's show to see if we read your name on the air. If we do, you come on in, claim your prize at the Jewelry Exchange and Auction at 19903 Stone Oak Parkway within the next 30 days. Please, you can enter as often as you like, but only one winner per household per month. Remember the email address quiz@inthemoneyradio.com. quiz@inthemoneyradio.com. Good luck, everybody. Now let's take a short commercial break. Hello, this is David Bluestein from the Jewelry Exchange and Auction and co-host of KLUP's In the Money radio show. When you want a new car, you don't drive your old car to the junkyard. When it's time to move, you don't sell your old house for firewood. So why would you treat your old jewelry that way? Your unwanted jewelry isn't scrap. At the Jewelry Exchange and Auction, up to 25,000 qualified bidders from all over the world compete for your unwanted valuables at our live auctions. We also need your coins and currency, firearms, and almost any unwanted valuable. Sell it on the spot or auction it for even more money. what's in your closet? Get more at the Jewelry Exchange and Auction in San Antonio. Texas license number 16604, member of the Better Business Bureau. Call us at 210-592-8786 or visit jewelryexchangeandauction.com. And join us every Saturday morning at 7 a.m. for In the Money right here at KLUP. Well, you're back with David and Adam Bluestein from the Jewelry Exchange and Auction on In the Money, the show that answers the questions, what is it, what's it worth, and what do I do with it? Today's program is about getting started in the business of buying and selling just about anything. When I was a college student, way back before fire was discovered, I was given an assignment for a program I was in. Upperclassmen were teaching lowerclassmen, freshmen specifically, about college life and study skills and how to survive on campus. And I was given an assignment of writing a booklet to find out what study skills work, what skills don't work, and to have that printed up and distributed to the freshmen at the University of Massachusetts in Amherst. So I wrote the booklet, and I wrote it in a style that was kind of hippie at the time, and a lot of funny stuff, but also a lot of good advice. And they distributed it to the 3,600 entering freshmen that year in 1972, and it was well received, and I just got on with my life. And then I was the next year I was attending a conference in Canada as a student with some people from the University of Massachusetts Counseling Center, and somebody stood up at that conference and said, we found this study skills pamphlet, which, to tell you the truth, well, I'm jumping ahead. To tell you the truth, it turns out to have been the best-selling study skills material ever published. You can still find it on Amazon.com for sale sometimes. But this person jumps up and says, yeah, we found this thing. And I stood up and said, hey, I wrote that. And they said, oh, great. How can we buy a copy? And I said, oh, no, I wrote it for the University of Massachusetts program. It's not for sale. And I sat down. The conference ended, and we're driving back from Canada. And a day goes by, and 2 days goes by, and finally the light bulb comes on over my head and said, well, gee, maybe I should sell that. I mean, the bottom line is, if you want to be buying and selling stuff, you have to recognize an opportunity when you see it, especially when it slaps you in the face, and you have to act on it all day long. People come into our gallery with stories of I woulda, I shoulda, I coulda. We call it the woulda, shoulda, coulda. I should have bought gold at $35 an ounce. I'd be a rich man now. Or, oh, Google at $100 a share. Oh, I wanted to buy some, but this, but that. I mean, fill in your own sad story here. We've all got those stories. But I want to inspire you with this thought. I find this thought very inspiring. 10 years from now, we're all going to be sitting around saying, oh, in 2012, if only I had done this, or if only I had done that, I'd be a rich man now, or a rich woman now. Well, you know what, folks? Why don't you sit back and do whatever it is you do to help you relax, and have a discussion with your family and your friends. What opportunities are we facing right now that 10 years from now we're going to be saying woulda, shoulda, coulda, unless we act right now? You know the opportunities are here. Is it real estate? Is it gold? Is it, I don't know, is it mud? Is it figs? I don't know, but I promise you, when you look back 10 years, you'll think of something. And when you look forward 10 years, there will be something. In 1980, I was working the night shift at a 7-Eleven in Woodland, California. Why? Well, that's a whole other show. But a guy came in, he was buying candy with silver half dollars. And I knew that the price of silver was up because I read it in the news. I heard it in the news. I was going to say I saw it on the internet, but we didn't have an internet back in 1980. And I said to the guy, I said, hey, don't spend those on candy. I'll give you a dollar each for them. And he says, oh, I got a whole bunch of those. I said, I'll give you a dollar each for all of them. And he brought me a whole bunch of them. And I looked in the newspaper the next day, and I called the person who had an ad in the paper saying they're buying silver coins. And at the time, silver was on its way to $50 an ounce the first time around. And those people offered me $15 a piece for a whole bunch of half dollars I just bought for a dollar each. This time I recognized an opportunity and I acted on it. I put up a little sign at 7-Eleven saying, I'm buying silver coins. And maybe I offered $10 for a half dollar that I knew I could get $15 for. And people started bringing them to me. They brought me so much, I had to go into the cash register to pay for all the merchandise they were bringing. And at the end of the night, I wrote a check to cover the cash I took out. And the next day, I ran and sold the coins. And then I ran to the bank and covered the check before the 7-Eleven owner deposited the check and anything bounced. Well, it took him just about a week to see some things on the videotape that he wondered what I was doing going into the cash register handing out money. Long story short, I ended up with two galleries and a consumer products division that we sold to the Superglue people in 2004 for millions of dollars. But along the way, people offered me silver jewelry, and I said, oh no, I only buy silver coins, until I started buying silver jewelry. And then they offered me gold jewelry, and I said, no, I only deal in silver. And then they offered me diamonds, and I said, no, I only deal in gold and silver. I mean, how thick do I have to be before I have to realize that there are opportunities slapping me in the face that we had to take care of? The first gold ring that I bought, and my partner at the time was Adam's mother, of course, and the first gold ring I bought was marked 18 carat. And I didn't know anything about how do you know what's real gold or not. And I remember paying $80 for that. I had a postal scale that weighed regular ounces. I didn't even know what a troy ounce was. And I paid $80 for it, and I brought it to the people who were buying all this merchandise from me when I bought it. And they tested it and said, that's not gold, that's brass. Well, brass, how much gold is in brass? Well, like 0%. Well, how much was the brass ring worth then? Well, like nothing. And we looked at that ring and looked at that ring, and $80 was a lot for us. First of all, it was only 1980, and $80 was worth like four times what it's worth now. And we were young, and okay, young and stupid, but certainly young and poor. And we didn't have $80 to waste. Well, frankly, I won't tell you where, but we took it down to a pawn shop, and Adam's mother, who's 4'11", went in and said, I've got this ring. I don't want it. Is it worth anything? I just want to get rid of it. And they were in such a hurry to take advantage of her, they gave her $20. She jumped in the car, and we drove away. We lost $60, but I'm going to tell you something. Never again did I buy brass and think that it was gold. Never again did I read a mark on a ring and say, well, it must be true because that's what it says. At the Jewelry Exchange, we have what we call the tray of shame. And it's not really our shame. It's the industry's shame. And it's just full of things that claim to be one thing that are really something else. And what we did was we made a mistake, we learned from the mistake, and we never repeated that mistake again. I have made lots of other mistakes in the past and continue to make them to this day. But my pride is that I don't make the same mistake twice. What I did was I built an entire business on what I learned. And if you tell me I didn't build that business, well, I beg to differ.
And, you know, David is my father. I grew up in his galleries in California. And so I've always been exposed to this. But about 3 years ago, I was working for AT&T. I was underemployed. And he said, hey, you want to have some fun? You want to open up a gallery in Stone Oak? And I said, yeah, sounds good. Let's rock. And so he had his experience from running the two galleries for almost 30 years. I got a degree in physics from the University of California, Santa Cruz. And so I like a challenge. I like math problems and solving puzzles. And that's really what this is, that people bring us merchandise and we have to ask ourselves, well, the first question is, what can I do with it? If you can't answer the question, what can I do with it, then you have no business owning it.
You shouldn't be buying it if you don't know what you're going to do with it.
That's right. And so I learned the trade from him. First thing, the fundamental, what we see the most is gold and silver. And so how do you identify and buy and evaluate gold and silver? That's the first thing I learned. And then it got to the point where the people were offering us merchandise that David wasn't necessarily an expert in. He does coins and numismatics and bullion and things like that. And people started offering us Yadro, like decorative collectibles, purses, diamonds, and gemstones. And so somebody had to become an expert. And I'll never forget the day he said somebody offered us a purse, and we had to determine, is this Louis Vuitton? Is it real or not? And he looked at me and said, someone has to be the purse guy, and it's not going to be me.
You know, folks, my head is full. I'm going to be 60 next week. My head is full. If someone has to learn something totally new around here, it ain't going to be me.
And so I had to kind of pick up the slack. And so, is it an authentic purse? That's my department. Precious metal identification? Well, there's an awful lot of that's one of my specialties. An awful lot of that, you know, just about anybody can do. But sometimes people do throw us some challenges. We do all kinds of tests other than magnet, acid. We do specific gravity. I use a specific gravity machine that I built. That involves an Excel spreadsheet. Diamond grading was one of the things that when we started we didn't really have formal education in diamond grading. We came from the school of hard knocks.
Yeah, don't get me wrong. I've been buying and selling diamonds for a long, long time. I had a 14-power Bausch & Lomb triplet adjusted loop, and you look into the heart and soul of that diamond, and you decide whether it's real and whether it's nice and what's the color like. I don't know. Let's hold it up to a piece of white paper, and we negotiate with the seller, and then later we negotiate with the buyer, and that's the way I did it for 25 years in California. Until Adam and I went into business, and Adam expressed an interest in actually becoming a specialist in diamonds.
And so I just finished my GIA diamond graduate degree, and so now we can actually do it, with high grade large diamonds with some certainty. We use Rappaport magazine. What are these actually trading for? And we're selling them at auction.
Yeah, Adam just returned from a week in New York at GIA headquarters, taking their latest classes and taking their latest exam. Adam scored a 91 on the Gemological Institute of America diamond test. A lady was in today with a 1-carat diamond, and Adam graded it and made her an offer. And she said, what if she brought it somewhere else and someone else graded it higher? And I said, well, they're going to have to show they beat a 91 on the GIA test last week, or I don't think Adam's going to be moved by that.
Yeah, but the bottom line is, what credentials do you have? And even more, how many dollars are you going to give me for that stone? That's the question when you're selling and buying. I also specialize in brand name authentication, like the Rolex. The watches we typically bring to a watch specialist.
Yeah, we don't claim to know everything.
But when it comes to Tiffany and David Yurman and James Avery, and basically jewelry, even like I said, the purses and other things that are commonly counterfeited. And that's one of the things that I specialize in. I'll take a good look at that and look at some subtleties and determine whether we're going to represent that as being authentic or not, because we're very careful never to offer counterfeit merchandise. The counterfeit merchandise goes into our counterfeit collection as an example
of our tray of shame.
What not to buy and sell.
So what do we have, boys and girls? What did we learn today? Well, my schooling mostly from the School of Hard Knocks. I made my mistakes and I took my lumps with my money, by the way, not with government money. And I learn from my mistakes and try not to make those mistakes again. I always thought it was like going to college. You pay for your classes, you pay for your lessons, and you just hope you don't flunk and have to take the same class again. Adam's approach has been to study and to use knowledge that he knows from other areas and apply it so that he becomes an expert. And then, you know, the third way, frankly, is you can learn from experts, and that's what we're doing here on the air. You could go to our website at www.inthemoneyradio.com and check out our 14 In the Money Facts of Life. Nobody wants your smelly old junk. What do we mean by that? Just because something is old doesn't mean that it's valuable. If young people don't want it, then nobody wants it. That young people drive the economy. If they're not buying it, it has no value. Number three, the book doesn't buy anything. I don't care what the book says or what your Aunt Millie told you. Something is worth only what you can get for it. It's only worth what someone will pay for it. That's fact of life number four. Number five, you can get bid, but you can't get asked. People do not sell things at the same price they paid for them, and they will not pay you the price that they're asking for it when they go to sell it. Number six, it takes two bidders to make an auction. We never sell anything without hearing more than one bid, and neither should you. Number seven, the best is always in demand, and you know what? Nobody really wants the rest. Number eight, condition matters. When you see a perfect one and then somebody showed you a worn-out one, guess what? The perfect one is worth more than the worn-out one. Don't make that mistake. Number nine, most valuables aren't rare. They're just well-marketed. Diamonds aren't rare. They're just well-marketed. Number 10, the definition of rare is you don't have it. If you have it, it's probably not rare. Number 11, if it says collectible on the box, it's not. Collectibles, true collectibles, don't say collectible on the box. No one expected them to be collectible. If it's not authenticated, it's not authentic. Also, never forget that jewelry is an investment, a very bad investment. And number 14, nobody knows what the markets are going to do. If we knew what the markets were going to do, we wouldn't be on the radio talking to you. We'd be out on our yacht with lots of young women, unless our wives are listening, in which case we'd be playing Parcheesi. That music means that we're up against a hard break, and KLUP is about to take you away for a couple of messages, but we're not going anywhere. We'll be right back with Chucky Buchel. So don't go away. You're listening to In the Money with David and Adam Bluestein from the Jewelry Exchange and Auction. You're back with David and Adam Bluestein from the Jewelry Exchange and Auction on In the Money, the show that answers the questions, what is it, what's it worth, and what do I do with it? Let me tell you a short story. A few years ago, we had a lady come in, one of our international customers, and she had an 18-karat gold Omega wristwatch, and she wanted to know what we would pay her for it. She wasn't interested in the auction. She just wanted to see if we could cash her out that day. So we evaluated it, did a little bit of research, and made her an offer. I think the offer was something like $2,200. And she wanted to see how that compared to an offer that she had received a few months ago. And she fished the offer out of her purse and discovered that the offer that she got a few months ago was when she was in Switzerland, and the offer was in Swiss francs. So I said, that's no problem. I'm just going to punch it up and see what the conversion rate is for Swiss francs to U.S. dollars. Now, one of my customers was checking out the bid board at the time, and I asked him, I said, hey, what's the Swiss franc to U.S. dollar conversion rate? And I was punching it up on the internet, and he says, I don't know, 96, 97 dollars, I mean, francs to the dollar, or dollars to the franc, I guess, at the time. And dollars to the franc, I think. You see how smart I am. And I punched it up, and it was like 96.7. So as it turned out, our offer was better than the guy in Switzerland, that pirate in Switzerland trying to take advantage of her. So we got the Omega. We subsequently sold it at auction. And that customer's name that knew that Swiss franc to dollar conversion rate was Chucky Buchel. Chucky's our special guest here today on In the Money. But before we introduce Chucky, I want you to know something. At that time, the time of our story, Chucky was just 10 years old. Welcome, Chucky. Thanks for joining us here on In the Money.
Hi.
Hey. How old are you now, Chucky?
13.
13 years old. Chucky, you're a remarkable guy, and by the end of this half hour, everybody in San Antonio is going to know that. Now, Chucky brought his father here today, Charles. Charles is in the studio. Hi, Charles.
Hi, how you doing?
Good. You know, I think maybe Chucky thought he needed to bring his father to protect him from us, but the fact is I should have brought my father to protect me from Chucky. Chucky, I mean, Chucky, you know we like you, and I talk about Chucky a lot, especially in front of him, and sometimes I'm afraid, Chucky, that you might think that I'm making fun of you, but I'm just so impressed with you. I mean, you're not my son, but I'm just so proud of you. Just for what I know you can do. And like I say, at the end of this half hour, everybody's going to know all about Chucky. But I wanted to ask you, how in the world did you know the Swiss franc to U.S. dollar conversion rate that day?
Because I was thinking about trading currencies.
About trading currencies. What does he mean by that? I mean, I've heard that, you know, did you ever hear of George Soros?
No?
He's a guy who made a lot of money trading currencies, but he's like 106. So what do you mean by trading currencies?
I would buy currencies low and then ship them out, sell them high.
You ship them out and sell, you ship them to, not to name names, I don't want you to reveal your sources, but you buy currencies low and you ship them out and sell them high. What do you mean by that?
You just look for great deals.
You look for great deals. I mean, you're looking for people who are buying currencies.
Yeah.
Now, I mean, I know that when I travel from country to country, that I can take my paper currency and trade it in at the airport, or sometimes there are cambio or change booths near the airport, and different people have different rates, but I'm always impressed that they generally won't take coins. They only want to take paper money. But I know from doing business with you that you sometimes will take coins too.
Yeah, because certain people take coins.
Certain people will take coins. And you said you ship them out. So you actually have to package them up and mail them to somebody.
Yeah.
And they'll do that conversion for you.
Are you mailing them to out of the country or to someone in the United States?
No, in the U.S.
Oh, okay. And Chucky, what would be the name and address of... No, I'm just kidding. I was going to try to cut Chucky out of the deal. Chucky, quiz time. How many pesos to the U.S. dollar right now?
About 13.25.
British pound sterling to the U.S. dollar?
About $1.56.
$1.56, that's right, because I follow that. Chucky, did we rehearse this? Did we talk to you about what questions we're going to ask you?
No.
How about euros to the U.S. dollar?
About $1.22.
$1.22, that's right. The euro, we've seen it higher than this, right?
Yeah, way higher.
About how much higher?
About up to $1.50.
That's right, about a buck and a half. But for all the people who think the United States government is in trouble and the dollar's in trouble, it's a relative thing, right? We might be crashing, but fortunately for us, Europe is crashing even faster, right?
Yeah.
And how many Canadian dollars to the U.S. dollar?
It's about equal.
It's about equal now. And what's the capital of Turkey?
I don't know.
It's Ankara. See, I know something that you don't know. But Chucky, so with all of this knowledge, how do you make that pay for you?
Well, I have to go out to certain dealers and...
Coin stores?
Yeah, coin stores.
Yeah.
And then I just look through stuff and see the mistakes that they have.
Mistakes that they have?
Yeah.
Well, what do you mean?
Sometimes you may accidentally put something for, instead of $1, they might move the decimal point or like that.
So they'll calculate the value of a coin, maybe it's exchange rate,
yeah,
or maybe it's silver value, and they'll just calculate it wrong, and they'll put it in the wrong bucket or the wrong bag, and you'll pick that and take advantage of that. So this special knowledge you have is what allows you to do that, right?
Yes.
Can you tell me about the silver content of Canadian coins through time?
First it was sterling silver, then they moved it down to 80%, then after that 50%, then after that to nothing.
Right, now it's the major coins are pure nickel now, right?
Yeah.
And they're magnetic as opposed to ours. Our copper nickel coin, well, I guess I just said it, it's a mixture of copper and nickel, and is it magnetic?
No.
No, so even with a magnet you can start to separate some coins out like that. Now, we have a sorting tray, and we have a canvas bag. As we buy things, we throw them on our sorting tray. In fact, we used to call it the Chucky tray because you would come in and sort it, and then you got older and rich and famous, and you won't even come and do that anymore. And then we have our canvas bag, and you know you can go through our canvas bag and pick out coins for 10 cents each. Can you tell me anything interesting about the silver content in Cuban coins?
They're about the same as American.
And have you ever taken advantage of errors that I've made regarding the silver content of a Cuban coin?
Yes.
A Japanese coin?
And how do you sleep at night, Chucky?
You're taking food out of the mouths of my children, namely Adam over here, this big guy who's sitting next to you right now. Japanese coins and Austrian coins. I want to ask you something, Chucky. I make mistakes. Every coin dealer makes mistakes. Everybody makes mistakes. We buy a lot of stuff and we sort it. And we have to. We don't have time to look up everything. And sometimes I think something's silver and it may not be, or I think it's not silver and it is. And you just have some expertise in that area. And so then you'll pull something out of my 10-cent bag. And at that time, I know I've made a mistake. I mean, Otherwise, Chucky doesn't want it. He doesn't want something worth 10 cents for 10 cents. He wants something worth a buck for 10 cents. I think, frankly, I think the other day you got about $5 of silver for 20 cents, I think. Chucky, have I ever pulled anything back after discovering that I made an error?
Nope.
And that's because when I tell you that I'll sell you something for 10 cents, I'll sell it to you for 10 cents, right?
Yeah.
Now, I'm going to remind you, because we talked about this before the show, you can't name names, but I want you to tell me, have any of the dealers in town ever pulled anything back from you after they said, well, tell me how this works, because you told me a story once, and I think it's more than once.
Yeah, once I went to a dealer, and I said, how much is this? He said, oh, it's this price. I said, okay. I went through all the stuff, and then I brought up, here you go, I want to buy this. They're like, oh, no, 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 this is not the price.
You see, he said, that shouldn't have been in that bucket, right?
Yeah.
Well, who put it in a bucket, you or him?
Him.
You know, in our business, we make deals for gold and silver and platinum bullion, sometimes tens of thousands of dollars on a word. I did it today with a coin dealer in town, and we made it was about an $8,500 transaction. We're going to settle it up tomorrow. You know, if tonight the price of silver, this was gold, the price of gold crashed, well, you know, I kind of wish I hadn't made that deal. But you know what I'm going to do tomorrow? I'm going to go fulfill that deal. I made a commitment, and I have to do that. And I would think that if I didn't do it, everyone's going to know by morning what kind of guy I am.
That's right. If you renege on the agreement, then you're basically out of the trading club. No one wants to do business with you anymore.
Why would anyone want to do business with you? So what was the name of that dealer? I'm just kidding. No, I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. Don't tell us. So you make the rounds at coin stores, other kinds of stores too?
Yeah.
Like what?
I could go to antique shops, and that's about it. Coin stores and antique shops.
Coin stores and antique shops.
You said you go to the bank sometimes?
Oh, yeah. You could go to the banks and just ask for rolls of pennies, nickels, dimes, quarters, etc.
But you just mentioned pennies. I understand you're keeping Lincoln cents. Is that right?
Yeah.
Yeah, this is very interesting.
That tell me why. Why are you doing that?
Because it has about 2.5 to 3 cents worth of copper in it.
That every Lincoln cent has 2.5 to 3 cents worth of copper
no,
in it?
1982 and older.
1982 and older. In fact, I think you already know that were there 9 different varieties of Lincoln cents in 1982, I think?
Yeah, about that.
Different copper. Well, actually bronze and copper-plated zinc varieties and large dates and small dates. So 1982 is kind of a tough year to do that with, but 1981 and before is a safe bet, right?
Yeah.
And has about 2.5 cents worth of copper in it. And then what do? Take that down to the recycler and they melt it down and give you the money for it?
You can't take it there because it's illegal.
It's against the law, Chucky. I know that. I was hoping you knew that too. And frankly, there's not a legitimate scrap dealer who will melt those now. But I remember being Chucky's age. Let me see, you're 13. In 1965, I was 13. And a funny thing happened in 1965 with U.S. coinage. Chucky, can you tell everybody?
They changed silver to copper nickel.
Right. Our dimes, quarters, and half dollars had been 90% silver. And all of a sudden, for the most part, they were just copper nickel. I know there's a technicality with the half dollar, but let's not confuse everybody with that. And at that time, the silver coinage started disappearing from circulation, and all the old people are saying, why? Why are you doing that? Now, believe me, I wasn't smart enough to do what you're doing. I was busy doing stupid things when I was 13. But the money started disappearing, and people said, well, why? A quarter's just worth a quarter. But wiser people said, you know, it's not always going to be worth a quarter.
Yeah, eventually it might go up to from $1.29 to $50 an ounce, maybe even more.
Maybe even more. In fact, in 1980, it hit 50. And just last year, it hit 49.85. And at that time, a quarter was worth 35 quarters. And if only I woulda, shoulda, coulda saved all that money, I could have been a rich guy. Well, frankly, I'm not doing too bad already.
But it's a funny thing. I've actually seen it at some coin shows, and even in our own gallery, people starting to bring in copper bullion. And when I first saw that, I thought, well, that's stupid. But then it starts to make sense, and I think Chucky gets it. How'd you get that idea to start saving Lincoln cents?
Once I realized that I looked it up and it said that it had 3 cents worth of copper, I said, I better keep them.
Yeah, so the way it works now, when we buy silver coins and some of our customers see them on a tray, they say, oh, are you going to melt those? No. And so that you can't melt U.S. coinage, but we put together bags of it and trade it with investors. You don't have to melt it. You're still holding that much silver if you want to invest in silver. And you'll be able to, well, now if you want, but someday, trade copper that way, because we all expect, right, someday the copper will start to run low and it's going to be worth more and more. I've seen you come back from a couple hours at a coin show and cash in your booty and walk away with $200 or more, right?
Yep.
Yep. Well, what are you doing at the coin show? How do you make that happen?
Well, I just look at, I go to each dealer and I look if there's any errors or mistakes, and then I just, how much you want for it? And they say, oh, I'll give you this, that, here's a discount, and then I buy it. And then after all the dealing is done, I just go to him and sell it.
You give him the puppy dog face?
Chucky has big brown eyes, and we always encourage Chucky to use those big brown eyes to get better deals from poor, unsuspecting adults. So you're looking for errors on how coins are priced. You've told me before that you're looking for coins that were priced when silver was lower.
Yeah, when it was like $4 an ounce.
And people didn't, the dealers didn't sell the merchandise. The price of silver went up. They didn't reprice it. And now you get to take advantage of it.
Yeah.
And are there other things that you're looking at, looking for when you make your rounds?
Sometimes I also look for foreign currency. If it's
right,
if it's cheap, I could buy it and then.
And then you can exchange it.
I can exchange it. Yeah.
Cool. Do you also collect things, or do you only just go around taking advantage of stupid adults?
That's about it.
You don't really collect things?
I kind of do, but if I don't have it, but that's about it.
Well, like what, Lincoln cents and things like that?
3 cent pieces, large cents, half cents.
You know, when you say 3 cent pieces, and earlier today I mentioned 2 cent pieces, I think a lot of our listeners are going to say, what are you talking about? Can you tell us something about the different denominations of U.S. coins that have existed at one time or another?
They used to have half cents, large cents, they were humongous pennies, 2 cents, 3 cents, they had 20 cent coins, and kind of, it's not common these days, but 50 cent pieces and dollar coins. They had $2.50, $5, $3, and $10, and $20 coins.
And even some rare $50 coins, too.
Or half dimes.
That are very valuable now. There's been varied coinage experiments in U.S. history before we settle now on the 1, 5, 10, 25. That's pretty much what we use. And you can make a good case for getting rid of the 1 cent piece. Because even though now it's just copper-plated zinc, it costs more than a penny?
Yeah, it costs more than a penny to make, so
just to produce it.
Yeah.
And have you? What's the latest figures on the cost of production for a nickel?
Way more than 5 cents.
Yeah, about 6.5 cents. For all practical purposes, if we had any... If Congress had any brains, we'd stop making things that cost us more to make than we can sell them for. Well, there's another well, duh, huh? Hey, Chucky, what do you figure? Do you want to be a professional coin dealer someday?
Maybe, when I'm old.
You have other thoughts about what you might want to do?
I'm not sure yet.
Is there anything else that you want to master as far as collecting or buying or anything like that?
I'm not sure.
Well, you got a good thing going, huh?
Well, I want to ask you, as far as obviously you have to get this knowledge somewhere. Where do you get it?
Well, once I was in the store, and then I saw a magazine that said coins. I'm like, what is this? And then I looked at it, and it had old coins. I asked my dad, what? They used to have old coins? And he said, yeah, they're different. So I just started reading.
Because that was of interest to you?
Yeah.
And I mean, I guess anybody could find just about anything interesting. We've got a lot of customers, a lot of young customers who are interested in sports cards. Do you ever do anything with sports cards?
No.
Why not?
Because I don't know about them.
You don't know about them, and I'm guessing what based on what you just told me, it's because you're not interested in them either.
Yeah.
Yeah, and but we have some customers who are young who know an awful lot about sports cards, and apparently they can make money on them. Frankly, I don't know anything about them either. We'll often research what seems to be better cards. We've sold cards for hundreds of dollars before. But what I know about sports cards basically is the quarter cent rule, that if you have 10,000 of them in a tub and you can get $25 for that, you're not doing too badly. I'll look at this the other way. What else do you do with your time? Do you just read?
No, I watch TV and...
Play video games?
play sports.
In video games and so?
Not really video games.
Oh, okay. But basically, you're just living your life, but you have this special knowledge, this special ability.
Yeah.
What reference materials do you, or other resources do you use?
I use the internet and just from people that tell me what to do and also about that.
Do you have a favorite website or anything for coin reference?
No, I just see it's broad-based.
Adam and I were talking before about how we got started. I talked about the mistakes I've made and how I just try to learn from my mistakes. Have you ever made any mistakes?
Not really.
Really? Oh, come on. I want you to reach deep into your head. You can't think of one mistake where you bought something and said, oh, no, what did I do?
Maybe I paid $10 for something and I could get $5. That's about it.
Okay, well, that's a kind of a mistake, but that's not bad because I'm guessing you didn't do that again.
Yeah, I'd never do that again.
Yeah.
Have you ever do you ever buy things that you don't know what you're going to do with?
Sometimes.
Really? Okay.
And then just what? What do you do with them?
Well, I don't know. I just keep it for a while and say, I'll sell it.
Until you think of something?
But for the most part, whatever you buy, you know exactly who you're going to sell it to and what you're going to get for it.
Yeah.
Right. I think that's one of the main points of the program is to go for the sure thing. If you don't know exactly what you're going to do with it, don't buy it. But sometimes it's okay to put some money out there and take a risk, but for the most part, you better know exactly what you're doing.
Well, that's a variation of what we always say. All my life as a coin dealer, people have said, I want to get into coins, what should I buy? And what's the answer to that?
Well, you have to do research.
Yeah, and how do you do research? That's what I'm driving at. Buy the book. Your first purchase should be a book or get on the internet and learn something about what you're doing.
Like the Red Book is a good place to start.
Charles, I'm talking to Chucky's father now. Charles, what do you think of Chucky's activities?
Oh, I'm very proud of Chucky. He's being productive and everything. And so, you know, he makes more money than working at McDonald's. So.
Well, he's 13. He can't even work at McDonald's. I told Chucky since he's 10 years old, when you turn 14, come talk to me. I want to give you a job. And I understand the pride. I mean, I've said it before. I'm proud of Chucky. He's not even my kid. I'm just proud that Chucky's around and we can consider each other friends.
And I'm jealous of Chucky.
I know. Adam says, you love Chucky more than you love me, which, of course, is not true. But Chucky's a great guy. I'm happy to have Chucky around. Chucky, lots of kids come into our gallery who are interested in coins and, you know, metals and things like that. What advice do you have for them?
Well, if you're going to buy something, do some research. See if you're getting a great deal or not. Don't overpay.
More important than getting a great deal, I think, is making sure.
You actually need it.
You have a place to go with it and that you don't overpay. Hey, Chucky, last question. And this is the last question I always ask. What question do you wish we had asked you that we didn't ask you?
Not really.
We're so good at this. There's almost never a last question. Hey, folks, we're going to take a short commercial break now. Then we'll return to open up the lines here on In the Money with our special guest, Chucky Buchel, Adam and me, David Bluestein from the Jewelry Exchange and Auction. Don't go away. We'll be right back.
Hi, this is Adam Bluestein from the Jewelry Exchange and Auction in San Antonio, and everybody knows that you can get great deals on jewelry, coins, and collectibles at our Saturday night auctions. But did you know that we now have our federal firearms license? That's right, this is Texas, and Texans love guns. We are selling guns just as fast as we can get them, and our bidders want more. We need your unwanted firearms for our next live auction. We'll show them to over 10,000 qualified bidders to get you the highest price. And for a limited time, we'll do this for a reduced commission, only 20% of the sales price. Nobody else in town can do that for you. Just mention this ad to receive the special offer. And it's all happening at the Jewelry Exchange and Auction each Saturday in San Antonio. Texas license number 16604, member Better Business Bureau, call 210-592-8786 or visit jewelryexchangeandauction.com. That's jewelryexchangeandauction.com and join us every Saturday morning at 7 a.m. for In the Money right here on KLUP.
You're back with David and Adam Bluestein from the Jewelry Exchange and Auction on In the Money, the show that answers the questions, what is it, what's it worth, and what do I do with it? We've been talking to people all week about this show and about Chucky being on the show, and we've been taking questions from people. And Adam, I think you have some questions for Chucky.
Yeah, actually, Brian, our producer, showed us a. He said he had a coin that he'd like us to evaluate. Can you evaluate that coin for him? We have some pictures of it. What do we have here? It's a Morgan Silver dollar.
Well, let Chucky tell him what it is.
Okay.
Chucky doesn't need you.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Nobody needs me.
Oh, we still love you, Adam.
Well, it's a Morgan Silver dollar.
What's that mean, a Morgan dollar? When was that produced?
Between 1878 and 1921.
Right.
Looks like in regular condition, maybe even polished.
So it's been circulated.
Yeah. I think it'll be worth maybe a couple buck or two more.
Yeah.
Did you say what the date is on it?
1882.
Oh, okay. But Chucky, that's so old. Isn't it very valuable because it's so old?
No, because he made millions and millions of them.
And look how shiny it is. Doesn't that make it very special?
It's probably polished.
Yeah, probably polished.
What's the mint mark on it?
It's Philadelphia.
And how do you know? Because it says Philadelphia or has a big P on it?
It's blank.
It's blank. And that main mint in Philadelphia didn't put a mint mark on there.
So what is a coin like that worth?
About 22 bucks.
Yeah, the melt value right now, about 20 bucks. Maybe you can get 22, 23 for it. Could have been worth thousands of dollars if it were in just excellent condition, but you know what? It ain't. So you got to get real. Be hopeful,
if it was a Carson,
real.
A Carson City would have made it. Just having the little CC on the back would make it worth a lot more.
Yep. Well, cool. Adam, any other questions for Chucky?
Yes. Michael asks, is there a book or a website you can recommend for grading coins?
For grading coins, I think there's a book, the same company, Whitman, that it's related to NGC coins, and it shows you how to grade coins.
Yeah, I personally, when I have a tough call to make and I'm saying, gee, is that fine or is it very fine? Because I don't want to make a mistake. I'll go to the NGC website at ngc.com. They have an excellent grading guide there. I can't believe we're out of time. That's it for this week. Thanks to Chucky Buchel and his father Charles for joining us here today. We'll be back next Saturday at 7 a.m. with our new program, What's So Special About Diamonds and Gemstones? We'll give you our insider's report, and we'll welcome our special guest, Rudy Pena from Pena & Associates. If you have questions about diamonds or gemstones or anything else, call us at the Jewelry Exchange, 210-592-8786, or email your questions to questions at inthemoneyradio.com. One of these weeks I'm going to get that right. We'll answer all the questions, but every question we like we'll answer on the air. Hope to see you all tonight at our live auction at the Jewelry Exchange in Stone Oak. And we hope you'll join us here again next week for In the Money, the show that answers the questions, what is it, what's it worth, and what do I do with it? Thanks for joining us this morning, and have a great week.